Hello and welcome to CX Today. My name is Charlie and today I'm delighted to be joined by Tatum Bisley, a product and technology evangelist at Cirrus. Tatum, thanks very much for joining me. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks Charlie, and you know, thank you very much for inviting me on to talk about AI and geek out, as people tell me I often do.
Excellent. Well, actually I'm very excited for today's discussion because we're going to be talking about a recent press release by Klarna that's gathered a lot of attention within the customer experience space. And it claims that its new OpenAI-powered chatbot has handled two-thirds of customer service chats within its first month. And I think among other statistics that I picked out that Klarna also suggests its bot has achieved, it says that it's doing the work of 700 full-time contact center agents. It's on par with human agents in regard to its customer satisfaction score. And it's even more accurate in error resolution, leading to a 25% drop in repeat inquiries. Now, as I mentioned, this story's got gathered a lot of CX discussion, but Tatum, it would be interesting to gather your thoughts on whether you think that this attention and this kind of big buzz around the story will impact the adoption of conversational AI within the contact center space.
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting one. I think, you know, when I think about conversation AI, I kind of think I have to kind of explain and distinguish between conversational AI of most people would know today and really what Klarna demonstrated. You know, customers have been adopting conversation AI for many years now. However, how, you know, before the advancements of generative AI, the effort required was actually quite considerable. You know, you had to think about, you know, what questions your customer's going to ask, how they would be asking it, you know, what the different paths the conversation might take. And all that had to be architected into the conversational AI functionality. And it was more of a if this, then that type build process. And because of this effort, it was really invested directly into customer experiences, you know, like web chat widgets, email responses, that kind of thing. And I think that's important, which I could probably get to later if the conversation goes in that direction. But you know, now we're talking about generative AI powered conversational AI. And that's what Klarna is demonstrating. It's removing the effort of architecting those customer journeys, focusing on the goals of the journeys, allowing the AI to be trained as you would train a human on your business policies, your procedures, your brand, you know, your country's legislation and laws, and even personality. So yes, there has been many support operations out there right now that have been watching AI news and watching this evolve eagerly, you know, and as you would expect with, you know, the adoption curve, you know, there's been a few executing on their plans already. Some have been building their business cases ready for adoption. Others have just been watching, waiting for the real world benefits to be publicized before they actually take action. And I think the news of Klarna is really going to help those that haven't yet taken action to start, or help those that are building their business cases. And as such, will probably move at a faster rate. You know, for us and companies like us, it helps us evidence the potential of what AI can do right now. And that also opens up the minds on what's possible that may not have been considered previously because of the effort involved. So in summary, conversational AI has been around for a while. It's made up of multiple technologies in the back end of that. This new technology of generative AI has really been the enabler. And I think that's where Klarna and companies like Klarna have been able to really demonstrate the benefits.
Yeah, and I think there's lots of really interesting points within your answer there. I mean, if we go back, I think to 2015, I remember an Australian bank discovered that there were 2,000 ways that a customer could ask, can I check my balance at least? And they used to have to kind of go through each and every one of those and mind map all of those various ways. And now the fact that generative AI can just generate lots of those different options which you can plug into the bot. And that kind of highlights that it's not only the customer experience that's being impacted, but the speed at which you can build a bot. And as you said, I think it's very interesting that you mentioned too how this is kind of helping to open the minds, helps companies build business cases for this technology. But it does make me think, you know, these numbers are self-reported. I feel like we have on occasion seen quite bloated numbers for the performance of chatbots. Do we need to maybe be careful with the numbers that Klarna are putting out there and how perhaps they've measured them?
I think we do. I think, as with any media story, you know, the numbers, the method of analysis they've used, the use cases that they're using this product for, they're all linked. So what worked for them might not work for others. But if we break down what Klarna does as a business, it's interesting. You know, they provide financial opportunities for consumers right at the point of transaction. So it's a powerful relationship between both the retailer and Klarna. From a customer's perspective, it's quite a close relationship, meaning it's perfectly conceivable that a consumer may contact Klarna with a question or a problem that should be directed to retailer. So for Klarna, by signposting that in the AI conversation, it resolves the issue from their perspective pretty fast, and that adds to their statistics. However, the issue isn't actually resolved from a customer's perspective just yet. They still need to go to retailer. Now, you know, on that note, you could argue that there are other ways to influence that KPI that doesn't need AI. So you could argue that the volume of contact into Klarna could have been reduced significantly with other interventions, meaning the customer didn't have to contact Klarna in the first place. And certainly, you know, when I saw the all of the PR activity, I was, of course, straight into Klarna, purchasing some goods, testing the bot out. And, you know, and it was really good, but it was really evident that there's deflection built in, you know, all the standard things that you'd see in contact center. So yes, it's really good and it's great for their use case, but that doesn't necessarily cascade down to all of the customers. And it also doesn't give us the full picture as well. You know, the type of service some customers provide would always need a human. You know, we're not ready to trust AI with the needs of vulnerable people, you know, that charities quite often take on, or councils within the UK take on. Yeah. I think that most contact center operations will have a reliable view on what would and wouldn't work for them based on those stats. But, you know, regardless of all this, let's not avoid the point we're making here. Generative AI and the rate of technological change is happening, and it's clear, and the downstream benefits are for everyone to take advantage of.
Yeah, and let's kind of build on that last point, actually, and talk about maybe what is there from this Klarna case study that you think may really help offer brands kind of a blueprint for success when they're looking to implement conversational AI.
Yeah. Do you know, this is really interesting. I don't really regard Klarna as a blueprint, because it doesn't really provide you with all the instructions on how to achieve that success for every permutation of contact center. I see it more as an imprint. It's a specific vertical with specific needs. And if your business model matches up with that, then great. You know, at Cirrus, certainly we believe the benefits are larger than that. And they're great benefits that they publicize. And, you know, we're bullish and confident to say that actually there are larger benefits than that. And it's the process of realizing those benefits that really matters. And for us, it comes in stages. So, you know, in parallel to the traditional conversational AI capabilities that many contact centers and certainly our customers already have, we've kind of got this three phase approach that seems to be working really well. And this is what we would regard as more of a blueprint. So the first phase is, and by the way, Klarna may have gone through these phases themselves. The first phase is really internal buy-in from your main stakeholders. So your agents, your workers, the people on the front line. The advancement of AI is happening faster than the rate of which most organizations can manage the change. And that's really important. So work with your people to get them familiar with the technology, get them using it to help them with processes that they already run. This then unlocks the art of the possible. It gets their creativity going. It's really the first step of moving away from that architected way of working. The second phase is probably to introduce AI with specific roles. So it's still internally facing. And this is how generative AI, I believe, has made a real unique impact. So, you know, earlier I said about conversation AI is used for customer facing use cases because of the cost of setting them up. They wouldn't necessarily invest that same level for internal use. So with generative AI, generative AI really cuts that cost significantly. So rather than architecting all the different journeys that may happen, you simply give AI a role, a purpose, like you would give an employee a job description. You know, you set out the rules, the constraints, you link it to the data, like your business processes, the rules, the past customer interactions. And then you have that AI act as a peer to your agents. And this drives ROI through faster employee onboarding, reduced customer handling time, lower churn. So all those statistics that you can benefit from without having to actually directly interface it with a customer. But the final phase, which is really interesting, is the switch from internally facing to externally facing. And by this time, you'd have understood the capabilities better in the context of your own organization and your own customers. Now you can set the AI to support customers directly, leaving the human agents to focus on the more complex or less predictable issues. As the AI becomes more trusted, and trusted for both your business and your customers, you can start to increase the scope of their support. Now, for me, each of these steps do have clear ROI and benefits for both the people in your business, the business itself, and your customers, but it's just done in a more managed way. And what Klarna has shared is that third stage of what the AI journey can bring you, AI doing the work of many humans. And in Klarna's case, the result is an additional $40 million of profit. Now, this is really interesting for me because it doesn't necessarily result in direct job losses, because that money can be reinvested back into the business to enable new roles to be created for the company to enter new territories or new markets. But I would say that this kind of area is a little bit fuzzy, and I would say a lot of companies have been thinking of this, but it's just not good PR to be sharing it,
yeah.
Especially if you're one of the 700 agents that you're told about this new thing coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, lots of really great points there. And I love that three phase approach. It does make me think though, kind of within that three stage approach, or just kind of more from a kind of overarching perspective, if there's any kind of specific advice that you'd really like to give to businesses kind of beyond that, who are eager to enjoy the same success that Klarna has achieved?
Yeah, I mean, I would say first and foremost, go and experiment, follow those three stages that, you know, we at Cirrus really recommend, and be proactive. You know, there's a lot of different points of view out there. You know, we're at an age where it's common for someone to read an article online and regurgitate that as fact. And technology is advancing so fast that, you know, a problem yesterday is solved today. So for example, you know, it was very evident that AI would make stuff up. It would hallucinate. But actually now we've got a lot of better understanding in terms of how to provide guardrails between the model and the use case. And if you've got those guardrails right and you've got the right instructions in place, then, you know, the AI won't hallucinate. It will be factual. If it doesn't know an answer whereby it believes that the probability that this might not be right is 90%, then it won't provide the answer. It will say, sorry, I can't help. And that, you know, and again, it also depends on the industry. You know, if I'm in law and my bot is providing legal advice, then it probably needs to be 99% accurate. Whereas if I'm in retail, maybe 80% is good enough. So I would definitely say, don't just read a post and think it's fact. The only way you're going to know is by experimenting. Make this a joined up effort internally, both with yourself. So if you're a contact center director or manager, liaise with your IT teams as well. And, you know, it's just a different way of working. It's very much cloud. There's a lot of media coverage on AI being the new mobile, being the new cloud, et cetera. And, you know, whilst we make comparisons in terms of its transformational possibilities, it's not comparable from a technology perspective. And the only way you're really going to know is by going out there, experimenting and looking past, you know, the open AIs and the Google Geminis, and looking for other models that you could potentially take on and leverage.
Yeah, and I think there is really something in kind of not trying to boil the ocean all at once, as you kind of suggested there, kind of starting small, looking at the low-hanging fruit use cases, find out what's really going to drive value, experiment with those, and then kind of achieve those stages of success, and then build outwards, kind of as you suggested. I think that very much seems like the most sensible approach to this. But kind of as businesses are working through all of these kind of important considerations when looking at conversational AI, maybe a good final question for you is kind of how do you at Cirrus kind of support them in achieving, in following their journey?
Yeah, I think for us at Cirrus, if you was to take this advice and, you know, embed it and operate, then we're happy. If you want more help, you can speak to us, and we're more than happy to to talk to you about, you know, how our technology could help, of course, but also a lot of the individuals in Sirius that actually that work with this technology, you know, they want nothing more than to share what they found and what they've learned and stuff like that. So just do it. Reach out to us if you want to know more. We're all available, whether it's on LinkedIn or whether it's directly through to our kind of our service lines. Just reach out to us.
Yeah, and I think it's really great actually that Sirius is doing a lot more than a lot of other competitors in the industry, not only to kind of release AI solutions, but to offer the education kind of alongside of it too. So I think that's really great. But it's been a really fascinating conversation for me, kind of going under the surface of kind of these announcements into kind of the impact conversational AI is having. And I've learned a lot. So thanks very much for joining me today, Tatum.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. It's, you know, it's great to talk about it. And, you know, now that we've got a lot more publicity through companies like Klarna, you know, I'm hoping a lot of companies will take the plunge now rather than in reaction to the industry moving ahead.
Absolutely. I think great message to end on. So yeah, thanks again. And also thanks everybody for watching. Bye for now.
Yeah, thank you.